Christians use the word fellowship a lot in the context of relationships with other Christians. But what does true fellowship involve? King David answers this question in Psalms, the 103rd chapter, regarding three practical points about fellowship. What is praise? What is the preparation for praise? And what are the reasons for praise? Let's join Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright as he begins the series on fellowship with his sermon entitled, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen, amen. If you will, just bow your heads for a moment with me. Join me in a word of prayer. Righteous Father, holy God, we come before you now. And Lord, we thank you for today. There are so many things that we are grateful for. So many things that we are thankful for on today. And Lord, one of the things that is pressed upon my mind is your love. Lord, you continue to love. And as Saint Augustine stated, Lord, that you love us all, but yet you love us so intensely that it's as if we're the only one you love. Lord, I thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. And on today, Father, I ask you to be in the midst of your people. I ask that you show yourself strong. I ask that you be heard. I ask that your words be heard today in the midst of your people, so that they may go on and grow on and continue on in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you turn to the 103rd Psalm. The 103rd Psalm. And by way of introduction, if you were to read the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 22, you would find the story of King Josiah. When he began to rule, he was 8 years of age. But in his 18th year, Hilkiah, the high priest, found the book of the law in the temple. Found the book of the law in the temple. Now, some scholars believe that the portion of scripture Hilkiah found had to do with praise and worship. Praise and worship. Follow my thought, New Life. Out of all the scriptures that could have been found, right, at that time, out of all the portions of scripture that could have been found at that time, God saw fit for Hilkiah to discover a portion of scripture for praise and worship. At a time when Israel was going through all kinds of craziness, the scripture that was found was on praise and worship. When things were getting rough, matter of fact, when things were rough, for quite a bit of time, the scripture that was found had to do with praise and worship. New life. When the road was kind of bumpy, we get back to praise and worship. And that's why I come before you all today with a passage that I spoke on before. Because if there was any message that I would like to be known by, it is this one that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Amen. You know, when Jalen was about 12 years of age, I'm laughing because Jalen made a meme. Is that what you call it? Meme? What do you call that? But anyway, the meme, it was a picture with a subtitle. And it was a guy just looking like crazy. And he says, the subtitle says, "When your daddy uses you as an example in his sermon." But I'm going to use you anyway. When Jalen was 12 years of age, he went on a trip abroad to Europe. And the days leading up to his 25-day trip, they were exciting. Jalen was excited, and he was soliciting donors, and it takes money to go to Europe. So he was soliciting donors and everything, and it was through an organization that he was going to take a trip. I think it was People to People. And so he raised the money, and as that day approached, when we were at the airport, all of a sudden, excitement turned into a little tenseness. It was kind of tense, right? So he made it over to Europe safely, but from about day 5 to day 20, Jalen didn't have a good time. You got to remember, Jalen was about 12 years of age, right? First time ever going, that far. And he would call home crying. I want to come home. I want to come home. Had a horrible time. And I was the one that was thinking about the money. And I was like, "Bruh, you got to stay. You raised money to get over there." You got to stay. So he toughed it out. But as Jalen grew older, right, he began to look at that trip differently. And guess where Jalen would love to go back to today? Europe. He would love to go back over there and see the arts and everything else, not through tears this time, but but as they are, right? See, as time goes on, you begin to have a different perspective, right? When maturity sets in, you start looking at things a bit differently, right? See, nowadays, maturity and experience is not that valued. You know, just as a sidebar, a side note, I the last time I was playing ball, I'm a good ball player. The last time I was playing ball and I was on that court, and I was there out there with some young guys, and I was inspired by Dr. J and George Gervin. So I got the ball and I saw the lane was open. And that's all I needed was an invitation. So I'm going there and I just did this one move that I love to do where I put that ball behind my back and I rocked the baby before I laid it in. And I just, you know, went back like you should be applauding, right? But yet, the young guys looked at me like, that was old school. They couldn't appreciate the beauty of rocking the baby. And they said it was old school. Don't appreciate my skill, my experience. But as I stated, experience makes you look at things differently, right? When you look back and wonder how you made it over. Amen. And that's what David was doing in this psalm. See, a young person couldn't sit down and write these words. It took somebody that was experienced in life, that went through some things in life, to sit down and write, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." One person said that at this time when David penned this song, that he wasn't just God's man, and neither was he just God's old man, but he was God's happy old man. And he sat down and he wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." They call this psalm the Amazing Grace Psalm, because David was pointing out how God had blessed him. He was looking back on all of the things that God has done for him, and he could only say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now note that David said, "Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord." He wasn't focused right off the bat on God blessing him. He wanted to bless the Lord. Amen. He wanted to bless the Lord. He wanted to say, "Lord, I am about to declare my gratitude for you, my appreciativeness of you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I see what you've done, and I want to bless your name." And that brings us to praise. What is praise? Praise is the response of the awe of God. It's your response of the awe of God. And it requires you to get more specific about him in two ways. First, in adoration. Adoration, which involves talking about who he is. Lord, you are holy. There is no wrong in you. Lord, you are mighty. There is no one or nothing more powerful than you. Lord, you are transcendent. You're bigger than all, greater than all, everywhere at the same time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Then the second part of praise is thanksgiving, which involves what he's done for you. Amen. Lord, you saved my soul. Lord, when I lost that loved one, Lord, you gave me strength to endure. Amen. When I was at the end of my rope and felt like there was no hope, Lord, you stepped in right on time. Amen. When I didn't think I was going crazy, I knew I was going crazy. Lord, you helped me out. Lord, you rescued me. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. See, it's interesting how people come up with these thoughts. You know, I was reading and somebody had came up with the conversation that two children were having. And they said that one was saying, well, what are we going to do like in heaven? And then the other one said, well, I guess we're going to be with God and we're just going to praise him. And they were like, and that's all? and well, okay, what else, right? What else? You know, some folks have the idea that God can become a tired subject. Huh? That they even go as far to say, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? Just walk around heaven all day? I mean, what? I mean, as if at some point, heaven, which is being with God, is going to get boring. As if it's going to get boring. You know, and I say to those people, what God do you serve? Because the God I serve, man, it's not boring, is not even in the vocabulary for me. See, the thing is this. If you were to read and get into theology, you will find this doctrine called the unknowableness or the knowableness of God. And what it says is this. It says that God, you can't know him exhaustively. You can't know him fully. Now, if you can't know him fully, exhaustively, then guess what? Every time he gives you a revelation of himself, it will give you reason to praise him again and again and again and again. You see what I'm saying? You can't outthink God, and you can't know him fully. Matter of fact, if you tried and if that's your goal, then you're going to need an eternity plus some. So when we get into heaven and then we are getting to know him and to know him and to know him and to know him, each time we know more and more of him, it's praise after praise after praise after praise after praise after praise. You won't get tired of praising him. Amen. So therefore, you got to tweak your thinking. You got to prep yourself for praise. It's a preparation for praise. Why did David want to bless and praise and adore and thank God? You know why? Because it's because David knew that God is the perfect solution to his frailty, to his human frailty. Now think about it. When you adore God, and that's putting God in his right spot, that's putting him up there where he's supposed to be. The more you place him up there and lift him up, guess where you are? Huh? The more of a separation you see, and the more reason you see to praise him, right? And then you get to a point where you say, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. When you put him in the right place, in the proper perspective, he is great. He ought to be lifted up. But you got to see yourself as being frail, needing help. See, a moralist, somebody who just has it all together and don't break the rules, they don't see a reason for God. And then you got those who know they know, and they're the intelligent ones that are thinking all the time. They just know they know all the answers. See, it's hard for them to bow their knees as well. But then you have the religious ones, amen? And they're just so pious, right? They're just so religious. Just like as Pastor said, you know, they go around saying, you know, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't hang around people that do. They can't see that they need God as well. Amen? But when you prep yourself for praise, you need to have like an executive board meeting with yourself. You got to say, I, me, myself, let's get together and focus on someone that is greater than myself. Someone that is greater, that is bigger. I need to focus on him. David goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. He says, O my soul. That takes all of you. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me. That's all of you. All of you, every part of you. Your mind, your emotions, and your will. All of that. It takes all of that to praise him. To praise him. Now, some are still saying, oh, I don't get it. To praise him? Okay. I get what you're saying, right? I get what you're saying, but it was just like the time I was talking to my daughter, and we were talking about praising God, and she said, I get it, but sometimes I just, you know, I don't get it. You know, I ain't gonna lie to you, Daddy. All right. Sometimes, and then I ran across an explanation by C.S. Lewis. And Lewis said that praise is spontaneous. It's in you already. You were made to praise. You were made to worship. It's in you already. And you know what? You tell on yourself when you say, you praise. You praise. When you say, I worship, you worship. You worship. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Case in point is like those football games, fellas. Huh? On yesterday, huh? Huh? Sitting at the end of your seat. Right, sitting at the end of your seat, and you're wondering if Michigan State gonna pull this thing out. They were down, and then they made that touchdown. Oh, they made that touchdown, y'all. Oh, they made that touchdown. Yes, Michigan. Michigan had a struggle, right? Oh, man, but then the running back in the snow, he was running through the snow. They couldn't catch him. He was at the 5. And then he stretched out the ball, and you said, oh, oh, Oh! Huh? And you say you don't pray. But then for the women, like I said before, the women see a bad pair of shoes. Ooh, look at those. Oh, girl. Ooh, where you get those from? Huh? Where you get those shoes from, girl? Oh, I see you. I see you. Look at those bad pair of shoes. Woo! Right? Now tell me, fellas and women, did you have to think about that before you said it? Huh? No, you didn't have to think about it, did you? You didn't have to think about it when you see the brother running and running and running. Matter of fact, you were sitting down, but when you saw him running, you stood up and you're like, oh, go! Go! Right? You didn't have to think about it, right? You didn't have to think about it. When you see those shoes and those shoes hit you, you're like, oh, girl. Oh, where you get them from, right? Right. C.S. Lewis said, it's spontaneous. When you really get what God has done for you, when you really understand just how great he is, how merciful he is, how wonderful he is, how loving he is, you can't help but praise him. You can't help but praise him. Each and every time, he is worthy of all the praise and all the glory. He gives you reason after reason to praise his name. Reasons for praising God. David gives us five in this psalm. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? He forgives all your iniquities. Now, iniquities does not mean mistakes. No, you jacked up. It is not an oops. You messed up. You jacked up. And for those saints, you know, our accuser is up there almost on a daily, right, accusing us. Now, when he goes before God, he knows that God ain't going to fall for a lie. Amen. So when he does tell on you, guess what he's telling? The truth. Iniquities. Not oops, but iniquities, right? Right? And the Lord blessed us, and he forgives all your iniquities, all your iniquities. See, forgiveness means removing the consequence, removing the consequence, taking away the sin, putting it somewhere else. See, there are many now who are still suffering because of unforgiveness. Even though God has forgiven you, you wrestle with even forgiving yourself. But David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David was saying, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. He goes on to say, who heals all your diseases? He heals all your diseases. Now, there's a debate about diseases. Some scholars, they say that it means soul diseases. Others believe that David was referring to physical or bodily diseases. But as I stated before, I like what McDonald states. He says, first, all healing, don't care what it is, right? All healing is from God. He is the source of all healing. Second, The Lord is able to heal all kinds of diseases. Right? There is no such thing to him as an incurable disease. He can heal all kinds of diseases. Third, the Lord can heal by natural means or miraculously. There is no limit to his power. Amen. So whenever there is a healing, this is a mercy from God, and we should acknowledge and thank it. On today, I have talked to several people within the church and outside the church. You know, they are dealing with unforgiveness. They are dealing with hurt. There's a lot of church hurt that is going on. Church hurt that have damaged relationships, damaged fellowship. Church hurt that have allowed some folks to say, I can't come back. Hurt within families. There's a lot of hurt that is going on. But I have an unwavering belief that God can heal any type of disease. Any situation, God has the answer for it. And we can be healthy again. We can be healthy again. Amen. Who redeems your life from destruction? Redeem. That's a big word. That tells us that our benefits cost something. It costs something. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed white as snow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He redeemed us. You know, we were broke. Once it comes to redeeming, we had nothing to pay with. Amen? Broke once it came to that. But God stepped in with a plan to redeem us to himself once again. Amen? What a mighty God we serve. And then it says destruction. Destruction. Some debate about this as well. Does destruction mean like he's going to destroy you here? Does it mean like the enemy wants to destroy you here? Or does destruction mean the ultimate thing, because hell means destruction? You know, I say both. He wants to tear you up here so you can go down there. He wants to tear you up here so you can go down there. Total destruction. God has delivered you from that. You can live in victory because of him. And then God does something else. He crowns you. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Now, tell me this. If someone messed over you, now, could you forgive them? And on top of that, like give them your car and give them your, you know, crown them, reward them. You know, it's almost like, thank you for messing up. Thank you for using me. You see what I'm saying? Thank you for taking advantage of me. But on top of that, God has not only forgiven you, but he went ahead and crowned you too. Amen? He doesn't stop at good or better. He gives his best for you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then on top of that, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. John Piper says this, God made us to magnify his greatness, the way telescopes magnify stars. He created us to put his goodness and his truth and his beauty and his wisdom and his justice on display. That's why he created us, to put those things on display. The greatest display of God's glory comes from deep delight in all that he is. Get this. This means that God gets the praise and we get the pleasure. God gets the praise and we get the pleasure. He goes on to say, God created us so that he is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. In him. He satisfies us with good things. You know, I said this the last time, too, that there's this group named the Epicureans. And the Epicureans were going around in the day and they wanted the finest things, right? They wanted pleasure, 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 pleasure. Oh boy, you know, if it was dope, they wanted the baddest, they wanted the dope. They wanted to get the highest. If it was drinking, they wanted the drink. They wanted the best of the drinks, right? Epicureans, they wanted the best of it all, so to speak. But all of a sudden, when they started seeing like each other drop, dead, because there's only so much partying you can do, right? Then they had to reevaluate. And once they reevaluated, now today's Epicureans are those who just want the finer things in life. You know, they want the finer things in life. They just, you know, it's not drinking like Mad Dog 2020. They want like a Chardonnay. You know, that's what they want. They want the finer things in life. But what they realize is this, and what you will realize too, there is no satisfaction without God. You may saturate yourself, but you will not satisfy yourself. You can saturate yourself with all kinds of things, but you will not satisfy the soul. God satisfies. He satisfies. So, when you are in a situation, in a tight situation, I want you to remember Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O your soul, and all that is within you. Bless his holy name. And don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his benefits, saints. Time and time again, he proves himself worthy of praise. But can you really know him without first repenting and bowing your knees to him? First, you have to know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. That's the beginning point. You have to know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, that you can't do this thing by yourself. You've tried time and time again. For years, you have tried to do this thing on your own terms. It can't be done. Because you were made to worship him. You were made to serve him. I say to you, come home. Come home to him on today as we stand. This is an opportunity to get it right with God. To get it right with God. come to him while you still have warm blood running through your veins. Come to him, because if you're living, it's not too late. Come to him now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if you believe in him, you will have life eternal. Not only will you have life, but you will have abundant life. Abundant life. You think you're living now? Come to him. Come to him, and he will show you your purpose in life. Why you were created in the first place. And that is for fellowship with him. Communion with him. Is there one today? Is there one today? Don't let this moment pass you by. Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised. There may be those who have established a relationship with God. They may be going through something in particular at this time. And they just need that prayer. They need that fervent prayer of righteous saints. That be the case, I ask for you to come as well. Some just may need prayer. Amen. Here's an opportunity. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at @nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.